One of the first comments on his post was, the ultimate answer to everything you never wanted to know. And that's kind of how I felt reading this post by James.
In a world where only the strong survive, there comes a time when the only way to settle the score is a one-on-one battle to the finish. Two entrepreneurs enter, but only one of them leaves. It's the Entrepreneur Showdown with Joe Cassandra and Dan Franks. Now, on to the showdown.
Happy Monday morning, everyone. It's time for today's episode of the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast. And first, this is the last episode before the Christmas holiday. So for all of you who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas to you guys. And thanks for joining us last week when we presented our Christmas present to all you listeners for our holiday mashup, where Jared Easley and Cynthia Sanchez joined us for this holiday mashup. And it was a whole lot of fun, a little bit chaotic, but we had a great time. And if you missed it, you can head on over and check out the video of that episode of the holiday mashup, in addition to the one that Jared hosted and the one that Cynthia hosted, at holidaymashup.net. You can find all of that. On today's episode of the Showdown, in round one, we talk about branding yourself. We've touched on a few similar topics in the past, but we go over some specific actionable steps about what you can do to improve your self-branding and some ideas that maybe you haven't thought of, or maybe some different ways to look at some things you're already doing. Then in round two, we kind of build off of this and we talk about reinventing yourself. There's an article written by William Shaker and actually a podcast to go along with it as well. And in that article and podcast, William talks about how to reinvent yourself in 1 year. And he talks about an article that he read that maybe gave some ideas that he didn't agree with. So he gives some tips on how he reinvented himself a couple times and what you can do to reinvent yourself as well. And even if you are not looking to reinvent yourself, but maybe just improve yourself or make yourself better, or like we talked about in round one, rebrand yourself, he gives some good tips as well. And then, as you know, we bring on William Shaker in the main event. William has developed multiple successful e-commerce companies, and he actually coaches people to do it as well. But in the main event, he tells us why he's not doing e-commerce sites anymore, why he might do them in the future, and what he's doing in their place, because they were making him millions of dollars. So it's interesting to hear why he maybe has decided to change his path. So you don't want to miss what he has to say. So let's get on to all of those things. First, for the show notes of today's episode and a whole lot more, head on over to entrepreneurshowdown.com. And now let's get on with the showdown.
Round one.
In round one today, we're looking at a blog post by Shannon J. Hernandez. And I guess you could say Shannon's a friend of ours now, because he joined us in one of our holiday mashup shows that we've done over at holidaymashup.net. And he was in the audience and he was super interactive and he helped us. Actually, I saw he shared the event a little bit and got the audience membership up a little bit, got a couple other people to RSVP and show up for the Google Hangout. And so that's what my introduction to Shannon was. And it turns out he blogs a lot about online marketing and, you know, kind of that typical thing. But he had this one blog post that kind of caught my attention, and it was 6 actionable items to gain control of your branding efforts. And a lot of these are kind of obvious when you look at them just as a bullet point, but I think some of them are worth digging down into. And one of them is something that we started trying to do and maybe we are struggling a little bit with now, but I think reading this, it makes me think that we should probably pick it up again. And that's to write at least a weekly blog post that appeals to our customers or appeals to our potential audience. And we started trying to do a weekly blog, and our whole idea was, hey, there's a lot of people doing blogs about these same topics, similar to our stance on podcasts. But if we can maybe tweak it a little bit and maybe make our blog posts fit into the showdown type format, then maybe we can kind of find a USP for those blog posts and go through that. So I don't know, Joe, why have we stopped doing blog posts? I can ask you.
I think because I don't like to write very much, and I don't know if you like to write very much.
I actually do like to write a lot. I think, I don't know if we've picked a format for blog posts that might be a little too difficult to sustain.
We've talked about different ones. Like we did the one with the leadership where we debated in text form. And then you had one that you did like a roundup of like 6 experts or whatnot. And we wanted to always make it a unique point, or each post be unique. But some of them, yeah, like it'd be hard to get a roundup post of like quotables from all these different peoples each week, or debating a certain topic. Just
I don't think it would be
the roundup. I think there's enough.
Yeah, I think there's enough experts. So I reached out to like 7 or 8 last time, and 6 of them within 24 hours sent me like paragraphs worth of document, you know, information that I actually had to pare down to fit into the blog post. And there's so many people out there. I think it's a matter of putting forth a little legwork almost to put together these lists of people, these lists of, you know, influencers in our space that I can reach out to for this stuff. So I don't think that it's necessarily would be impossible to do something like that once a month. I think we, and this is my opinion, I think maybe we thought we had this good idea. We're going to make these unique style blog posts, and not necessarily we're going to change the world, but we're going to see some people that really like it. And to be perfectly honest, we did 2 or 3 or maybe 4, and we just didn't get a whole lot of feedback. And for me, that was a little discouraging. We talk about stick-to-itiveness on the show, but I really think the fact that we didn't see that immediate, I don't want to call it gratification, but that immediate feedback from our audience that they really liked what we were
well,
doing.
Yes, but
maybe that encouraged us to stop a little bit.
Yeah, that probably too. But like with the one where we debated with leadership, like it's exciting because first you don't see that very much, and everyone likes a good debate because everyone likes controversy a little bit. And like when I was just promoting that, like I sent it to like a couple reporters that I'd talked to and said, hey, this might be an interesting article for you guys to read, and a lot of them were just like, oh, that's cool, thanks. But and I never got any feedback from it, so I was like, well, maybe that's not the type of stuff that they want, because we're looking for to build some sort of press and to gain some exposure and traction. Because I mean, we get a lot of people that say, hey, you guys have a great format, you're unique, but we haven't figured out a way how to leverage that into jump, like, I don't know, hitting the big scene and getting a lot of people to see and notice our brand and whatnot. So we're still looking for that, and since we didn't get that when we thought we would, then yeah, we kind of tapered off a little bit.
Yeah, well, so that's one thing that we could probably improve on, to focus our branding efforts more on actually branding everything we're doing and not just the podcast. Another thing that he mentions in this, and I'm going to skip through some of them, but it's investing in your business through networking and training. And we've started to do this, but I think this is something that you can't point out enough in terms of, you know, sharing this with our audience. And that's just getting out there, whether it's Google Hangouts and, you know, online networking, or whether it's joining forums, joining online communities, or going to events like PodCamps or New Media Expos, or, you know, the Michael Hyatt Platform Conference, and really just, you know, getting out there and just kind of shaking hands and meeting people. And he even mentions training. So I guess the conferences could be training, but also if you're, you know, a lot of people listening to us, they're not just in the entrepreneur space. They have a specific niche that has its own type of conferences and training sessions. So I think going to all those things and really just getting the word out about who you are and what you do is huge, that a lot of people maybe are a little scared or hesitant to do.
Well, and we've talked about this, and we're going to have future guests who talk about networking. Actually, we just had John Corcoran talk about it. As of this recording, it was the latest episode about networking, which we'll link to in the show notes so you can get to it easily. But yeah, and we've talked about this before, that going to different events, especially if you don't know a lot of people, it can be discouraging because you're going to feel awkward at first, and you're always going to see the people that seem to know everyone, and you're going to want to be that person, and you're not going to be in that position. And I know for like the meetups that we went to during the Platform Conference, I know before, like when we went to Cliff Ravenscraft's meetup, and everyone there knew who Cliff was, and I didn't know really anyone there. But like right when I got there, I just it's one of those things that you just got to just forget about what people are going to think about. You just go up to the first person and just start talking to them. And usually since you have that shared interest, it automatically will build a bond that way. Even if you are nervous to talk to new people, just having that similarity gives you already the talking ground that you need.
Yeah, I mean, I think we both went in there not really knowing a whole lot of people that were going to be at that one meetup that you referenced. But we came out of there and we picked up future guests just by meeting people. I was able to share some of my limited expertise that I've developed through podcasting with some people that I think really going to help them. And I've already seen some results from people that I just, you know, just talking to just gave them some extra motivation or some extra little tips and tricks that they could use that's really worked for them. And I think I even picked up a couple clients for the tax side of the tax compliance and consulting that, you know, I do full time. So I met some people that I'm pursuing that with. So it's really, I think, just things like that. You never know what you're going to get out of it, but you just have to do it just to kind of see. Another thing that Shannon mentions in this is listening to industry podcasts and gauging your marketing efforts. And I think really he kind of pushes this as far as seeing what the industry leaders are doing and kind of, you know, modeling what you're doing after them. But I really almost take the reverse stance of it. And this is what you and I did. And that's listening to what everyone else is doing and then just doing the exact opposite, or maybe not the exact opposite, but listening to what people are doing so that you are different. You're able to be different because, you know, there's a lot of people that are blogging and podcasting, and I hear these people say, oh, well, I don't listen to podcasts, I just make podcasts or something like that. And it's like, if you're doing that, you have no idea what your other, the other people that you're kind of working with or maybe competing with are doing. And I think that's like a really kind of a closed-minded view to not want to see what other people are doing so that you can be different.
Well, just seeing what other people are doing, you also can tell what's working. I know a lot of people, they try and make it seem like everything that they do turns to gold, but you know it's not true. So you also want to be doing certain things like other people because you want to test them yourself. And like I do that with our Facebook ads. Like I always like to test what's works, what doesn't work. And there's been plenty of them that don't work at all, that you hear them from other people. Oh, you need to do this. You need to narrow your audience down to 10,000 people and you'll get the best engagement and the most likes. And that's total crap, even though like some of the top ones say that that's true. And so sometimes you got to get in there and lose some money in the process and try it out yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to wrap it up here, and we're going to link to Shannon Hernandez's website here to see all of the list. But the last one he talks about is, he says, act as a customer service representative and become the go-to person. And to me, this is just kind of establishing your authority in whatever space you're in. That's kind of what that means to me. And he points out some examples. So he goes on Facebook and in different Facebook groups and tries to answer all the questions. And you and I see stuff like that happen. We're in some podcast communities on Facebook and we see the people that are making a real effort to answer a lot of the questions and give advice to anyone who asks for it. So those people, if they're trying to establish, you know, either a coaching program or some kind of mentorship program within the podcasting community, those are the people that, you know, the members of the community are going to reach out to if they do decide to reach into their pocket for this. So I kind of see that what he's talking about, really just whatever space you're spending the most time in, utilizing your time there in the best manner possible as far as developing that authority figure role. But like I said, we're going to link to all this in the show notes at entrepreneurshowdown.com. And now let's get on to round two.
Round two.
For round two today, we're looking at a recent podcast by William Shaker, and he'll actually be coming on in the main event, as always. And this episode, he talks about how to reinvent yourself in 1 year. And his podcast was inspired by a post by James Altucher, which I know we talk about James a lot, but I think he has a lot of good stuff out there. But James wrote a post on TechCrunch about the ultimate cheat sheet of reinventing yourself. It's a pretty massive post, so we'll definitely link to that so you can go over and check it out. And William talks about, yes, you need to reinvent yourself, but James has, I guess, a different view on how to do it. William says you can do it in a lot less time, with less learning, with less money or anything like that. Like one of the points he says, James talks about, hey, you need to read about 500 books to reinvent yourself. And William says, no, you don't need to do that. You just need to read maybe 100 or 200 books and then start just implementing on all those that you just read. And the whole point of this is just, and like we met, like the title says, reinventing yourself. So if you're in an area where you're stuck, the time to shift to something else is right now, not after you get a fancy degree or anything like that, but like right now, start learning.
Yeah, I have to laugh. One of the James Altucher's post, one of the first comments on his post was the ultimate answer to everything you never wanted to know. And yeah, that's kind of how I felt reading this post by James. And I'll get to the to William's more or less response or version of that in a second. But yeah, this, you know, the ultimate cheat sheet, when you first see that headline, you think, oh, okay, I'm going to hop on over to this article and get a quick, easy answer on how to reinvent myself. And anything that James does is not quick or easy. It doesn't seem like he's very thorough in his explanations. But I do think some of the things that James says is true. But I also agree with what William says. Like, James is kind of overkill here. And you just mentioned it, but what was it like 500 books he thinks you need to read before you can thoroughly reinvent yourself, and it should take 5 years. I think it's I don't know if this is James using a little bit of scare tactics in this or what, because I know James has reinvented himself multiple times, and if it took him 5 years to do each one, he probably would be about 100 years old by now, which I know he's not.
Yeah, well, maybe that's kind of like what James does to kind of maybe have people who he knows aren't going to take him seriously just automatically quit if they say 500 books, because a lot of people, and my wife just read me some statistics yesterday, which is actually a funny coincidence. I don't remember the exact numbers, but you'd be surprised like how big the percentage is of people who don't read another book after they graduate high school, after they graduate college. People don't read like another book in their life. And I'll have to find that article. I'll have to get it from her. But people don't read enough. And you always hear the term readers or leaders are readers. And that's because instead of indulging in all the crap that's on the internet, there's good stuff on the internet, but you got to sort through a lot of crap first. You can get right to the meat and the heart of it. But did you have something?
Yeah, you're more of a James Altucher guy than me. I would consider him one of your man crushes, which, you know, that's okay. We all have them. But tell me, is he using this reading all these books? Is that similar to like that theory you have to have 10,000 hours or something to become a master at it? Is that his version of that, you think?
Well, William kind of talks about it a little bit, how just the reading, they're kind of like your mentors, and it's like indirect mentors, and you're listening to what these people say and you're soaking it in. And while you're doing that, your mindset's starting to change because you're getting these new ideas, which sometimes when you read like a business book or a self-help book, you're like, oh yeah, I know that stuff. But when you keep reading it over and over again, it starts to sink in and you actually start to act on it. And William talks about a couple things on how to reinvent yourself. And one of them is your mentors and reading. He just says read 20 books a year and listen to good podcasts and stuff like that, because those people are automatically influencing you in a certain way, and they're the ones affecting your mindset and everything like that. That was just one example of how he disagreed with James Altucher. But if we look at other ways just to reinvent yourself, just looking at William's post, some of it seems kind of obvious. Some of it is like meet connectors and make connections. And I know when I started off, I thought that just meant, okay, if I want to get in touch with this person, I'll just go comment on their site or something like that, or maybe send them one email and they respond and I feel like I'm connected with them. But it's actually a long process of going back and forth, making sure they remember you, especially someone who gets hundreds of emails a day. They're not going to remember that one email you sent, even though you feel special receiving it. And so it's a whole process, and it takes a lot. It's not just going out for drinks every so often with someone. You actually got to provide value to them.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not a huge fan of a podcast like this because it's just so vague, and he's talking about a year's worth of processes and just barely touches on each thing. And I guess that's kind of, you know, I don't know if that's, hey, dig in deeper by joining the coaching program, or if it's coming soon in future episodes, we'll dig into some of these more in detail. But some of the things he does say is pretty vague and pretty generic. So I'm interested, you know, William has had a ton of success in the online space, but he's also had some failures. So these things he's preaching, he totally knows about. I'm not saying he doesn't know about them. So I'm thinking maybe this is a good opportunity for us to get him on the line and dig deeper ourselves and kind of push some of these areas that we want to know more about.
Yeah, I agree. That was a little bit vague on his end. So I know he likes to keep his podcast a certain size, like 30 minutes or so. So he probably didn't want to go into all of them. And so he had material for in the future. But we're going to want to dig in a little bit more. So let's get to William Shaker in the main event.
It's time for the main event.
For the main event today, we have William Shaker. William started in the online business world in 2001, right after the bust. But he wasn't late to the show, as he built a multi-million dollar sunglasses empire that kept him taken care of until about 2010 with the Google Penguin and Panda update. Now, Will is in the business of providing value now with his popular podcast called Endless Possibilities. Will, thanks for coming on.
Hey, hey, what's up, Joe and Dan? Thanks a lot for having me. It's an honor, man.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Will.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we get started, we always ask, is there a certain podcast or show you've been on that you tell your story really well so our audience can, if they want to go hear some more of it?
Wow. There's quite a few podcasts, and every one of them are near and dear to my heart because for every single podcast that I'm on, I give a little bit of myself. But two of the most recent ones that I did, one was Go Fire Yourself. They can check that one out. And the second podcast, which I absolutely love doing, was with John Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire. So those two, they would definitely kick ass for that, anybody who listens.
Well, we always like to give John a little love, so we appreciate that.
Not that he needs it. Good grief.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we wanted to dive into, as of this recording, it's your most recent podcast called How to Reinvent Yourself in 1 Year. If you look at James's post, which you talk about, You agree with some of it, but then you also say that, hey, you don't need to spend all this, like all these years that he talks about, and you don't have to read 500 books. So if it's not 500 books, what's the magic number for you then?
I think the magic number, it all depends on what you need, because a lot of times these days, if you're an employee and reinventing yourself into another job is not necessarily reinventing yourself. Reinventing yourself completely is going from job to entrepreneur. So if you're interested in becoming an entrepreneur, there are podcasts that you can listen to. And each podcast that you listen to, such as mine or yours, the person listening, the person who is doing the podcast, they become your mentor. So that takes care of the mentorship. The books that you want to read, which are, I don't know, I would say if you can read like 2 books a month or maybe 2.5 books a month, that would be perfect. I don't really think that you need to learn 500 books in three or four years or once a week. You don't need to do that. As long as what I suggested on Entrepreneur Fire, as long as there's more traction and when you come to a roadblock, as soon as you come to a point where you can't go any further because you don't know how to proceed, that's the time that you should go on Amazon and look for that specialty book and buy it and start reading it, learn it, and then apply it. And then finally, when you go back at doing whatever you're doing or whatever business you're trying to create, then as soon as you go back and you hit another roadblock, go back and find another book to read and then figure out your specialty niche or whatever it is that you need to learn to proceed ahead. So in terms of reading, learning. A lot of people have this paradigm shift where they feel like they need to learn everything. They have to know it before they begin it. And that's analysis paralysis syndrome. And I don't believe in that. I believe in starting out, making lots of mistakes if you have to in the beginning. Of course, you want to avoid them as much as you can, but making the mistakes, learning them, and then finding that book, fixing your problems, whatever they were, and then proceeding ahead until you hit another roadblock.
Well, when we're doing our research, whenever you talked about books you read, you talked about like Think and Grow Rich, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, all these type of mindset books, not as much tactical type stuff. So is that where someone should go first, is to kind of read the mindset type stuff before they start worrying about the actual building any type of business?
I think the mindset is very, very important. The mindset is where it's at, actually, because if your mindset is not business oriented, I don't think you'll be able to become as successful as you want to become, because the mindset not only involves the thought process of you becoming a rich person or how to handle money, but it's also the habits that you have, because the habits are a very, very big component.
Well, Will, one of the books you specifically mentioned was The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I'm not sure if you mentioned The Cash Flow Quadrant as well, but those Robert Kiyosaki books, and those are some of the books that kind of got me involved early on in this whole mindset towards building a better future, I guess you could say. What are some of the biggest takeaways you take from that book? Because I know it has its criticism.
Yeah, it does have its criticism. And as a matter of fact, Rich Dad, his name is Keith Cunningham. I was actually mentored by Keith Cunningham. And whenever, you know, I was mentored by him, he did mention that he was Rich Dad in the book. He did have a business connection with Robert Kiyosaki. And as a matter of fact, both of them wrote the book together. That's just in case you guys are interested in finding out. You can Google Keith Cunningham and find out a little bit more about him. But as far as the takeaways I got from that book, and I did, by the way, read The Cashflow Quadrant. I read every single one of those books written by Robert Kiyosaki back in the days. I think it was a handful, about maybe 3 to 4 or 5. I have no idea, but I got them all on my bookshelf. The major takeaways I got from that is that I don't necessarily need to collect a paycheck for the rest of my life, because up until that point, I thought that that's all there was for me. And as soon as I learned that there was other people's time, other people's money, other people's resources, and I can use this to leverage my own business, to leverage my own living, I no longer had to work hard for myself. I no longer had to make someone else rich. So that was probably my biggest takeaway amongst, I don't know, 100 other things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a super valuable book with a lot of lessons. And again, like Joe said, it's one of those books that's not super tactical. You kind of get done with the book and then you look around and you're ready to conquer the world, but you don't really know how to do it. But as far as mindset goes, it's a super great one now.
Right, absolutely.
Joe and I, I'm sorry.
No, I said absolutely. I'm just agreeing with you.
Okay. We have a little bit of a delay here, but that's all right. Now, Joe is the reader of the duo between the two of us, and he and I often, I don't say have arguments, but I just feel like I don't learn as well or consume information with as much, I don't know, understanding from reading as I do from other mediums. And Joe is the other way around. Joe can read a whole book in about the time it would take me to read a chapter. And sometimes I feel like I'm a little handicapped as far as that goes. But what is it about reading that you think is so important that you can't replace it with something else?
I really don't think that reading is the only thing that you need to do that you can't replace with anything else. You can listen to audio. Now, there's audiobooks you can do. There's podcasts that you can listen to. As you may know already, there are hundreds of different podcasts that you can listen to. And every single podcast that's out there can be your mentor. Mentors are probably the single most important things that you can have in the beginning of your business career. As a matter of fact, you guys had John Lee Dumas on your show. Now, he provides his income reports, which is something brand new that he's doing. Now, if you look at his income reports, he has mentorship there. He pays $2,000 a month to be mentored. Mentorship is very, very important because mentors take away all the mistakes that you can make. They guide you in all the right paths, and they relieve you from making all these mistakes that can hinder the growth and the success of your business. By the way, did I answer your question or did I just go off path?
No. You answered it. You got it.
Okay.
So when we look at reinventing yourself, a lot of people, they don't know. I mean, maybe if you're in a job that you hate, but what if you're in a job that you enjoy, but how do you know if you're supposed to reinvent yourself if you're not in a dire situation that you got fired or you're in a job you hate?
Well, that all depends on the individual. Now, you know, the average individual is not going to know anything about reinvention because all they've been doing up until this point in their lives is work at a 9-to-5 job. So they're really not familiar with that. The only time that you're going to become sick and tired of working for a living and you're going to want to reinvent yourself, if you want to call it that, I know it's a catchphrase and all, but if you want to call it that at that point, you know, like for instance, myself in 2001, when I got laid off, I read that book. And if it wasn't for that book, I'm not sure which path in life I would have taken, to be honest with you, because it was... After I read that book in 2001, I made the decision. I made the huge leap. I was like, you know what? After this, how could I ever work for the rest of my life? I found out about 4 different types of people. And I was like, I have to be a business owner. I have to be an investor. And for the person who's sitting there, for the person wondering if they need to reinvent, I think you need to really, really, really do some soul searching and figure out if the life that you're leading right now is something that you're gonna want to do for the rest of your life. Are you interested in making someone else rich? Now, if you're not interested in making someone else rich and you're interested in being in business for yourself, it's not going to be easy. I know there's a lot of resources out there. It's a lot more easier to be in business today than it was when I was in business in 2001. There are so many resources available now. There are so many businesses going up and making billions of dollars in short amounts of time. Now, I have this printed out because I wanted to read it to you guys, but can I read it to you real quick?
Sure, hit it.
Okay, over the past decades, huge billion-dollar companies have collapsed, such as Kodak, Blockbuster, and Tower Records, and out came new ones, but this time much faster and with a lot more money than before. As an example, YouTube went from being a startup acquired by Google for $1.6 billion in 18 months. That's crazy, right? And then Groupon, meanwhile, went from startup to valuation for $6 billion in under 2 years. And then there are so many other ways to make money, like becoming wealthy and doing it really fast these days is something that a lot of people are doing. And there's just no excuse not to become successful. In fact, it's nearly impossible not to be successful these days because you have Facebook advertising, you have Google, you have all these multiple different channels if you have an e-commerce website to get your products, you know, blasted onto all these different product websites, such as Amazon as an example. So for the person who is sitting there right now listening to this podcast, if you're interested in reinventing yourself, it's not an easy process because number one, there's a mindset. Number two, there's implementation and you have to learn a lot. And you just have to make these decisions for yourself. It's not something easy, but it requires a mind shift. It requires a paradigm shift first, like I had.
Well, I mean, it's easy to say, like, look at Groupon, look at Facebook, but most people, they're not going to start the next Facebook. I mean, everyone can't start a Facebook. So what should be the next step that they should be looking at the chances of you starting the next Facebook are very slim. So what should be the next thing you should be looking at?
Right. Well, the reason why I gave the example of Facebook and all the startups and everything is because we live in an unprecedented time in history where things are moving so fast, technology is moving so fast that it's easy to become rich. It's easy to start up businesses. So if a person, what's your question, by the way, if a person wanted to start a business, reinvent themselves?
Well, when someone says, okay, fine, I want to work for myself, and they start trying to shoot for the next Facebook, it's not going to happen. So what should they shoot for then?
What should they shoot for? Well, it all depends what their comfort level is. It all depends on how risky they want to be. Like they if they have money, they can invest a whole lot of money into a business. Or if they don't have money, they can do it easy. They can do it for free as well. Like, for instance, drop shipping. That's how I started my business. So dropshipping is very simple. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people teaching it on the web right now, which I'm considering doing as well, maybe into the future. But dropshipping is one way. You know, you could do information, selling your information if you're an expert. There's so many different ways, though.
So, Will, I got to ask you, and anyone that knows your background knows that dropshipping, like you said, is how you got your start and built that million-dollar business that Joe referenced in the info. But I got to ask if it's still viable, and I've even seen you in some places say it's more viable today as a business than it was when you started, why you don't do that again?
That's a good question. Like, whenever I stopped the dropship business, it completely, like, you know, it made me a little pissed off. Like, I've been doing this for so long, and all of a sudden it was taken away from me from Google, but I didn't know that there were so many different ways to make money, so I depended on Google. It was kind of like a money tree. Once that stopped for me, I said, you know what? Now I want to take things to the next level. I want to build my legacy. And to do this, I want to make sure that I help as many people as possible. So once I'm done doing this, once I'm done building my programs, once this part of the project that I've begun, once this business is finished, or at least in progression, then I'm going to start that back up. So it's not something that I'm giving up on. I really believe that e-commerce is big and it's here to stay. Just for the interim, I decided to put that on the back burner.
Wouldn't the fastest way to provide value now, since you've been doing e-commerce, is then maybe teach others and mentor them how they can build an e-commerce store instead of maybe building up a podcast and whatnot?
Well, they could do that. To build an e-commerce website, it's so simple these days. I started with Xcart. As a matter of fact, no, I started with HTML. So you can do a whole bunch of things these days. You have Shopify. So if you wanted to, you can set up a Shopify store, pick pick a template and get started in like, I don't know, 2-3 days and start selling on Amazon if you wanted to. It's really simple now. And I found out all of this stuff as soon as my business collapsed. And now that I learned all this stuff, I'm going to do things a lot more intelligently going forward. So that's one thing I suggest for you or and for your listeners.
But why, my initial question was, why don't, because you talk a lot about now when we're just doing research that you want to provide value now. That's what you want to do now. Why don't you then yourself, well, you will go and teach other people how to build e-commerce sites and make that, I guess, like your business?
Right. Well, the first step is to finish with what I'm doing right now. So I got a book coming out. I'm writing my book, and then I'm coming up with my information product, which is how to become successful at anything you attempt. So that's going to be a membership type website, or I might make it into a type of group training program. So I'm working on a few different things right now. But as soon as I do that, and that's finished and it's launched and it's established, maybe a few months down the road after that, I'm going to open up my e-commerce websites, and I want to make sure that I implement everything for myself first before I teach it to other people. So it's definitely in the works, just not yet.
Well, I want to ask you, read this to you. You read something to us. I want to read something to you. And it was something that was a comment on your Mixergy post for when you were on Mixergy. And it was a commenter that said the takeaway from this interview is that it's impossible to make money using the internet these days. So most of these people that are now being interviewed are doing the coaching thing or not actually doing whatever it was that made them money. Now they're transitioning. And I think he was implying that that's what you were doing. You know, you didn't see the viability of online business anymore. And I think you've touched on it a little bit, but I think this comment was made kind of a few weeks after the post was really hot, so there was no reply to it. And I was just wanting to maybe get your feedback on that, what this commenter said.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow, I guess I missed that one. But yeah. I think the business of e-commerce is very, very hot. And there's absolutely no way that I can step away from it forever. And I've been doing it for God knows how long. I love it. It's just, like I said, things have changed for me, and this has become more important than anything else. I want to provide value. I want to create my legacy. I want to create these programs. And e-commerce made me a whole lot of money. And with e-commerce, it's very simple to sell. I mean, you have, now that I'm learning a whole lot more about e-commerce, you have all these ways of getting traffic to your website. And you no longer have to depend on Google. So it's definitely something that I'm going to get back at. And it's not something that I'm doing because e-commerce is no longer viable. It's not something that you can't make money off of. In fact, what I'm doing is a lot harder than e-commerce. Selling information products is a lot more harder because you have to convince people. With e-commerce, if you're interested in buying XYZ product, you go on Google, you type it, or you go on Amazon and you type it up. And if you see it, it's good and it has great ratings, you buy it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. You really don't have to convince anybody with e-commerce, but with information products, you have to. So I'm actually doing something harder than e-commerce. I definitely can get into it. There's a lot of money involved in it, but right now, I think this is more important for me.
So is this almost a case, you know, this whole idea where we started was the idea of reinventing yourself, but it seems like for you, you're not necessarily trying to reinvent yourself. You're almost trying to challenge yourself. Like, maybe you have the money part solved, at least for now. So now you're trying to do something that's more of a personal challenge and a personal goal, not just trying to, and then maybe you'll go back. So you're not trying to reinvent yourself and replace what you were doing, but maybe just trying to expand your experience or your knowledge.
I guess you could say that, but it is in a way reinventing myself because now I have a podcast where I'm actually teaching people all of my skills that I used to know. So I'm becoming a motivational speaker through my podcast, through my website, and I plan to expand that a whole lot more with keynote speeches, doing live seminars, doing a lot of things. I mean, not everything is posted on the website. I really don't, you know, post things that I'm going to be doing into the future, but there's so much involved in the business that I'm trying to create right now. It actually is reinventing myself. It's just that it's so new into the process that I haven't even done maybe half of whatever I wanted to do already.
So you have a timeline on the podcast show notes, and you just have a 6 to 12 month type timeline where you can start from scratch and build up. And one of them one of the steps is you build up a platform. You don't build up any type of paying product, just a platform at first. And before, when you had the e-commerce, you went straight to build a product first and not really worry as much about the platform. But now you were, now you're saying build up the platform first before you build a product. Why would you switch like that?
Okay, well, this timeline is specifically for online businesses if you want to become an information marketer. It's not necessarily for e-commerce. If you want to do e-commerce, obviously this time slot, it could be a lot sooner. So your platform would be like, let's just say Shopify. Your products would be whatever, XYZ product on your Shopify website. You can even get it drop shipped. So you can begin making money a lot sooner. I should have wrote in a timeline that this was information marketing or becoming an expert on the internet. So if you want to be an expert, this would be the timeline.
So for people who want to build up some sort of online anything, not a e-commerce, but maybe they want to get more speaking gigs, or maybe they want to start selling services or whatnot, should they always start with a platform and build an email list first, kind of like what a lot of people say?
It all depends. I mean, like I said, if you're for information marketing, definitely build up an email list. Your email list is where it's at. For e-commerce, I really don't think so, because your traffic is coming to your website with people already interested in the product that you're selling. So your website has to look good. The prices have to be right. And that's basically it.
Well, I think you're kind of in an interesting position because you've had this online success, but now you are kind of breaking this new ground into a new venture. And as you said, reinventing yourself in this online space to do something different. So you're almost, I guess, learning along with a lot of our listeners and a lot of your listeners and readers when it comes to building this information product business. What have you learned so far doing that? And what are maybe some of the misconceptions that you had going in that you've already disproven?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you mentioned this. This entire process, I would say this entire year has been devoted to learning. I knew nothing about information marketing, and now I'm learning so much about it. I learned long time ago by, I don't know how I found, I know how I found him. I found Cliff Ravenscraft, which is Podcast Answer Man. You and your listeners probably know of him, but I found him through Michael Hyatt. Initially, I was interested in writing a book. And this was about a year ago. And whenever I was interested, I wanted to publish my book. I didn't know anything about selling my book as an ebook, as an electronic book. And my girlfriend at the time, she was searching for something, landed on Michael Hyatt's website. And Michael Hyatt had some kind of an information product on how to get your book launched and how to find book distributors and all these other things. So through him, I found Podcast Answer Man. From Podcast Answer Man, I learned how to podcast. I didn't really do his A to Z program, but I did download a few of his tutorials. I got started with podcasting. Podcasting led to creating my audience. My audience led to me getting questions from them. And then when I got questions from them, I built my products and I built my podcast around their questions. So after I learned that, I learned a whole bunch of other things as far as collecting emails to creating autoresponders, from creating autoresponders to launching my product, to creating my product, finding out how to distribute this product, creating membership sites. I mean, I don't know if you have enough time, but there's just so much I can talk about as far as how much I've learned.
Well, let me ask about this, because the whole idea of niche selection is one of the hottest topics, because it's, I think, the hurdle that most people have the hardest problem or the most trouble clearing is, well, what do I do? Like, I want to reinvent myself. I want to have a podcast or a blog. I just don't know what it should be about. And you kind of mentioned, I was a little confused when you mentioned that you built your audience and then you found out what they wanted and then you started producing what they wanted. But how did you even come up with the idea of what audience to target initially to begin with?
I didn't know what audience to initially target. I just put myself in their shoes where I was whenever I started. Because whenever I started, I was at zero. I had no idea. I didn't have the mindset. So I put myself in their shoes, and my podcasts, my blog at williamshaker.com is everything that I've learned in the last 13 years. It's my failures. It's my successes, my triumphs. Everything put together, That's where everything is. And as a result of me regurgitating all of my knowledge and putting it through podcasts and on blog posts, I've had a ton of listeners and blog post readers just email me questions like, hey, you know, I love your podcast. I have a question, and I would answer their question. But every single time someone sent me a question, I would always write it down, and I would have a list in Excel, and then I would create podcasts out of these, or I would create like a blog post out of it. So that's how I found out what my customers wanted. So if anybody is interested in finding out what their niche is, you could do it one of two ways. Number one, you could do it like me, but it may take you a very long time if you do it like me, because you might come up with stuff that no one is interested in, or you might come up with stuff that you were interested in when you first started, but you have to have tons of experience like I did. So in that situation, it might work, but it may not. Who knows? But the surest way to validate your niche, to find out what it is that your customers might want, is to go to places like forums, to go to places like Reddit, as an example. And in the entrepreneur section, you know, give them as much information as possible and say, I'm validating this business idea. Are you guys interested? Vote up if it's yes. Vote no if it's vote no if you're not interested. And you're going to get your answers. That's just one way. But forums and, you know, just asking people and creating a survey on SurveyMonkey or Google Docs is probably the best way to validate your business idea or your niche.
Those are some good ideas that I didn't think of, especially the Reddit idea. So Will, I noticed that you had the kind of this failure theme going on in a lot of your posts, and you're very open about your failures. And is this kind of a persona you're taking on? And I'm not saying that it's fake, but I'm saying you're emphasizing your failures more than other people I've seen. And even one of the quotes that you put in this specific post that we're talking about, it was a Richard Branson quote about failure. So I just kind of see this recurring theme. Is that something you're doing intentionally, or is that just you and what you think is most valuable to share with your audience?
I think I want my audience to see that I was very, very successful, but I have had a failure. I want them to connect with me, and I want them to see me as somebody who's real. And I don't want to seem too perfect. You know, I have all these podcasts out there, but I also want to let people know that I am real. I have made mistakes, but the most important thing is to fail forward, to learn from your mistakes, and to learn from your failures, and never to make them again. So that's what I'm trying to establish with my listeners and my blog readers.
Well, you talk about, just while we were doing research on you, you say, I was very urgent when I lost my job, and that's what helped me succeed. I had that, I don't know, feet to the flame or whatever. But say you're not in that type of position, how do you create that sense of urgency?
I don't know.
Hey, at least you're honest. That's great.
I have no idea. How do you create urgency if you don't have it? I mean, I don't know if that's possible, is it? Either you have urgency or you don't. I mean,
well, if you're in a job that you don't like and you're trying to reinvent yourself, how do you recreate that urgency to keep going with the reinvention?
It all depends. I mean, how hot is the fire? How badly burned are you? How much is it pissing you off to go to work every single day? So, you know what it is? It's being uncomfortable. How uncomfortable are you? The more uncomfortable you are, the more urgency you have, isn't it?
I guess you could agree with that.
I mean, you have to be uncomfortable, right? I was uncomfortable, and that gave me urgency. But if you're comfortable, if mom and dad are feeding you 3 square meals, they're washing your clothes, and all you have to do is go to work and come back, you live a comfortable life. You will never leave unless you get kicked out, right?
Yeah. So how do you have that uncomfortable feeling, but that doesn't create the urgency, though? It more just makes you, I don't know, just feel like time is passing you by, I guess.
Eventually, what's going to happen is that you're going to become very tired. And when you're very tired of whatever situation that you're in, you're going to want change. And then the change is not going to happen automatically. There are going to come times where you're just going to, I don't know, get depressed. I'm just making up words here. You might get depressed. You might get pissed off. There might come a time where you're not making any money, or you are making money, but you're just not happy what you're doing. You will eventually develop some kind of an urgency. There will be some kind of a change, but The number one ingredient for urgency is discomfort. If you don't have discomfort, there's no need for change.
Okay. Well, let's go back to, because I was going to ask you about the Reddit type thing. Well, you have people trying to validate your idea, but how do you get full validation to actually get someone paying you instead of just someone giving you a thumbs up on Reddit?
Okay, well, I just want to add one more thing about Reddit. You have to be careful with Reddit because they might not like you as a person. They might not like the way you posted. Reddit is very, very tricky. You know, Reddit is one of those type of places where people are typing anonymously. People are posting anonymously. So anything goes. Get your idea validated, but don't take it to heart.
Do they not like you, William?
No. it's not just me. I think Reddit is very anonymous, so you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want. All I'm saying is go to multiple sources, not just one. So if you have an email list, make sure to send your email list a Google Doc and have them fill it out. I'm just giving you an example.
Okay. Well, let's use an example I did, and you can kind of critique it. Because I had an idea, and I wanted to validate it. So I bought a domain name. I built like a page on Webby or whatever the heck it's called. I like worked on all the copy for like a couple weeks and bought some Google ads and then just watched and see the traffic that came to it. And if they clicked a certain area, that means I know that they were interested. And if they didn't, then they just bounced away from the page. How would you critique that type of testing?
How would I critique it? Okay. All I have to say is that, you know, I like the whole Apple mantra of creating products. Now, Steve Jobs said that you have to create products, and sometimes people don't know if it, excuse me, let me start all over again. Steve Jobs creates products, like as an example, the iPhone. He doesn't know if people want the iPhone. He just creates them, and eventually people want them. So as an example, you have to create your product sometimes and then figure out if people want them. The trick is not to spend too much time creating it. So if you're going to spend 6 months creating this product, and then after 6 months, maybe five people like it and you are projecting 100 sales and only five people bought it, well, you wasted a lot of time. The trick is to get your product out as soon as possible and then, you know, get some validation for it. And if your product is great, a lot of people are going to sign up for it, then you build up on that product. It's the lean startup mentality.
So before it kind of sounded like you validate the idea, then build, but now you're saying build and then see if there's validation?
You can do it one of two ways. No, if you can't validate your idea, if you don't have that many sources to get your idea validated, another way to do it is to create it really quickly. I'm talking about spending like 2 weeks on it, 1 week on it. Get it out there. Find out if people are willing to buy it at a certain price. Like, let's just say if it's a $500 product, you sell it for $200. If people buy it for $200, chances are they're going to want to pay a little bit more money for it. So you're not spending too much time, but this is a way to get your idea validated.
Gotcha. Well, we're talking a lot about validation because a lot of our audience are people that are thinking of building something or kind of in that beginning stages. And so we try and give them as much of these beginning steps as possible.
Right. Well, you know, I'm learning a lot about this whole process because I'm creating information products on my own. So you're getting me right about the right time.
Nice. Well, there's a lot of people, for this type of reinvention, they know what they want to do. And like, I know someone, for example, they want to do like party planning type stuff, but they're in a totally different field because they have a totally different degree. And what they always say is, well, I don't have a degree in that. I could never do that. What do you say to people like that?
Party planning and a degree. I don't know you needed a degree for party planning.
Well, let's just say any type of thing where you need a degree. If it's
Let's say you spent 4 years or 6 years in college pursuing a degree, and now you've got the degree and the job in that degree, but you really want to be a party planner.
Right. Well, I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that question because I never went to college, so every job I got was without a college degree.
Well, then you'd be a perfect person to then talk about that. So if everyone that you have to go work for has a degree in that field, like for example, Dan and I were accountants. If someone wants to work at the same firm as we do, but they don't have an accounting degree, what would you say to that person to get them into that type of door?
I think the best way to get yourself into the door is not necessarily with a degree, but great communication skills. As long as you have great communication skills, as long as you realize that it's not what you know and who you know, I think that's more important than anything else these days.
Great. Well, let's just talk about the communication just really quick. When you talk about mentors are people that you listen to, and also not just the people that are in your immediate circle, but yeah, the people who influence you. What's your strategy for reaching out to them and keeping that relationship going?
Well, you know, I'm starting out brand new. I mean, I was an e-commerce guy for a long time. Here I am in the scene. So for me, I'll tell you how I did it. And you know, maybe this can answer your question. So the way I did it was I established myself through my podcast by demonstrating my knowledge. After I demonstrated my knowledge and I had a few podcasts out there, I got in touch with Entrepreneur on Fire, and then I got in touch with Mixergy. After that, I had an interview with two of the biggest podcasts out there. Once I had that, then I had my backbone. Then I had a good backbone to work off of. And I contacted other people, and as a matter of fact, yourself. And this is how I got to know different influencers. This is how I get to have my name out there. So this is the way I've done it.
Awesome. Well, we love it. And we appreciate you reaching out to us. We enjoyed it. So, Will, where can we learn more about you if our audience wants to go check out you and check out all your stories and whatnot?
Well, I have my website, which is williamshaker.com. So they can take a look at that. I post podcasts every single week. The name of my podcast is Endless Possibilities, and that's a weekly podcast where I talk about entrepreneurship, motivation, success. You know, everything is based off of my experiences, and occasionally, not very often, but occasionally, I have a guest or two come on as well just to give their perspective and their knowledge and their experience. Besides that, you know, I have a information product, like I said, I'm coming out with. It's called How to Become Successful at Anything You Attempt. So if your listeners are interested in checking that out, they can just go to williamshaker.com/success. And that's basically it.
Love it. We'll definitely be sending them to that link. And Will, we appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Entrepreneur Showdown. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'd love it if you join us every Monday morning to hear the latest episode of the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast. Remember, the place to go to find the show notes of today's episode and a whole lot more is www.entrepreneurshowdown.com. And while you're there, leave us your email address to find out about upcoming guests, latest episode releases, and a whole lot more.